Valvoline Instant Oil Change wants you to breathe out your oil change anxiety. And breathe in automotive peace. Visit us today.
Hello, this is episode 8 of Message from Home podcast. I'm Margot.
And I'm Nina.
And we have not done an episode in a while, obviously. The last published one was
May,
4 months ago, which is so not okay, but
I know, sorry guys,
we're here. Now
we're here. We've had a busy summer.
We have indeed.
Yeah, so I think we should just kind of get into our summer.
Yeah, we'll talk about our summer recap. Well, yep. Nina, why don't you start, because you went to Canada for like fucking ages.
Well, I went away at the end of June into July, and I was in Canada for 16 days, so just like over 2 weeks. It probably felt like longer than that.
Yeah, I just can't live without you.
I know. Yeah, so I went to America and then I went to Canada and had a great Canadian time. We
had lots of maple syrup.
Actually, no, I don't think I did. Oh. Sorry about that, Canadians. But I went to, we did a little road trip. We went to Niagara Falls, Toronto, Montreal, and then Quebec City, and then back to where we started in Boston. And then I came home, then I went to London, and then I came home again. And then apart from that, in the summer, I was just going to gigs, doing a lot of nothing, actually. Mm-hmm. Not much. But Margot had a lot more of a productive summer, I guess. So on you go.
I was in work. I worked in a kilt shop over summer.
She left me.
It was actually really fun.
She left. She abandoned Glasgow.
I left G-Town for a quiet summer in the Highlands. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even say I had like a Highland girl summer because I didn't like hike. I wasn't doing any of like the benefits of the Highlands. I was just looking at tartan all day.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
Some could say that's like the most Highland thing.
That's true. I learned about, there was an exhibition upstairs and mm-hmm. there was one mannequin that was like Donald Trump.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It was really freaky. It was like,
oh god,
and you'd have to go up and like hoover the exhibition, and it was really scary. That's,
yeah, like I always think, what would it be like if you worked at Madame Tussauds or something? Yeah. And you had to clean and there was nobody there and you're just like, sorry Beyonce, like,
let me just touch up your little cheek there. Yeah, it was nice. But it's funny, in the exhibition bit, it was like a zoo of mm-hmm. like the kilt makers, because they were behind a glass and ooh. People were taking pictures of them and stuff.
Oh, that's weird.
It was,
I mean,
weird.
They have that in like a lot of different places. When I went to Belgium, they had like all the people making the waffles.
The waffle makers. In Belupas.
Yeah. Bless. And I bet they're not getting paid enough to have Americans taking photos of them.
Minimum wage. Making kilts. Terrible. Yeah. I had a black watch kilt that I wore.
Ooh.
It's like purple and navy and
but
green.
You didn't get it to keep.
No.
Oh, that's boring.
They're expensive. Yeah. So yeah, I just worked. Went out a few times in Inverness, which is more fun than you might imagine.
Yeah.
Got kicked out of Spoons.
Did you really? Mm-hmm.
First time ever.
For what?
Not me specifically, but everyone was, it was a Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. Quite loud, I think. So The girl came over, she was like, I'm not serving you guys any more alcohol. Okay. I'm really like,
wow.
Okay.
I got kicked out of Spoons because I was trying to buy alcohol when I was underage. That's the only time that, oh, so that I have. Oh wow.
Nothing
so
quite
you're
like
having like a out. Raucous party. Like, party summer in the Inverness Spoons.
Yeah. And then one of my coworkers, we went back to his flat and he had really fancy wine.
Uh-huh.
From Spain, and he gave it to us.
Wow.
And I felt quite mean after, because
well, yeah,
exactly. But yeah,
yeah. So
we also went to Belgium.
We did. That was the big kind of music event of the summer.
There's like a, it's like a family friendly slash local like local teenager festival in Beaulieu, which is like next to Inverness. It's really fun. It was like 3 days. Mm-hmm. We camped though, which was actually not a mistake, but I think next time we could maybe not
camp.
If we go again, it was fine, but you just feel really shit after, like really
Yeah.
groggy. But do you remember?
Honestly, I didn't find the camping to be that bad. For me, I slept quite well every night and everything, and the weather was good for us,
Yeah.
but maybe it was more just like a cleanliness thing for me. I would much rather have been able to, just actually like wash my hands every now and then,
Yeah.
you know?
And shower. I think showering
Yeah.
was a big thing because you're walking around all day,
Yeah.
you're drinking, you're a bit gross, and then you can't shower unless you want to pay for a shower, but it's like there's no point.
It was an experience for me because I've never really been to like a camping festival before. We
Yeah.
spoke about this in the last one, actually, funnily enough.
Oh,
It
about
was
two in the
Tea in the
park.
Park. So this was my first kind of festival camping weekend thing experience. The part that I hated was waiting around in the morning because I
Yeah.
kept waking up at like we go to sleep at like 2, and then I'd wake up at 8:30 for some reason, and I just couldn't get myself out of that. And then we'd have to wait until 1 or 2 in the afternoon for the bands to start playing. But luckily, because we were doing press, Margot was doing press, we could go to the press tent and drink their really bad tea.
And you had to bring your own cups because it's like
Yeah, what the
eco, which is so
hell?
fair.
So we had like paper cups that we were carrying around all weekend.
Really? That's
Like
so musty of
every
us. Like, and there's no taps or any. Like, there was a little tap, but it was like evil. Like, you turn it on, it go. Pfft.
It also seemed like just like the dirtiest water and like the
Yeah.
smoke. People were like brushing their teeth in that. Oh God,
And
don't start me on
in the tent next to us, there was a girl. We could hear her giving her friend a pep talk, and she was like, "Girl, just drink your electrolytes and like stop complaining. You'll feel so much better."
this. Oh, I know. And the little baby in the tent in front of
Angus, Angus, sit down. Angus, we're trying to
Angus.
sleep.
Every single morning, it was like, come on, Angus, let's go.
You'll see some Gaelic hard metal.
Oh,
I
God.
actually, there was a band called Gunga Who we're playing. One of my coworkers, she's only 17, and she was like, "Oh my God, I love Gunga Who." And I was like, "How do you even know who that is?" And she was like, I just love it. They're so cool."
There were
And
some really bad.
you had an issue with the trad music.
I was quite shocked by the amount of trad bands that they had playing. Like I didn't realize that there was such a cultural difference. Like maybe I'm just too much of a city girl.
But you're also
A snob.
a snob,
No,
yes.
no.
Back to
Okay,
ban
fuck.
trad music.
No,
I'm
it was just
joking.
like bands like Beluga Lagoon. I was like,
Yeah.
what the fuck? Like
To be fair, they're kind of shit.
they
Like
are,
I
and
don't
they have
like
such
it.
a big fan base. And I was just like, I've never heard of these people in my life, and suddenly everybody here is like, let's go down and see Beluga Lagoon. I was like, what are you people talking
People love
about?
it, and it's like these kind of, it's a very particular breed of kind of mid-30s men who are a bit rough, like not rough, but like rough in appearance, like quite country.
Like what's the
Oh, that's
word
terrible to
for
say, isn't it?
it?
Trickster men who have like
But
beards and drink IPA. They all love Beluga Lagoon, and I'm supportive of that.
it's kind of like a Scottish version of like the Stomp Clap, like
Yeah.
2010s, like Lumineers kind of.
It's very hipster.
Yeah, definitely, like Brewdog.
It's
It
so
it's so
Brewdog. It's
Brewdog.
like more liberal Brewdog because I think the guy who runs Beluga Lagoon, he's like a wildlife filmmaker or
Oh,
something.
that's quite cute, actually.
And he had the song The Glen.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that, but I also don't know what it is
It's
still.
like someone came and did a remix of their song The Glen without asking for permission. So this guy's made like no money off the song, although
Oh.
he's made Beluga Lagoon like massive, but he
Yeah.
didn't ask for permission, so
Oh.
it's his own fault really, but
I know. Oh,
crazy.
well. I know.
Who else? And you didn't like Skippinish? That was like when we were in
No.
the massive, there was like the main stage, the hothouse, or
The Hot House.
like thousands of people
And I was,
singing.
yeah. I was like, who are these people?
Oh, they're
And now all
massive.
of a sudden, like, they're playing the Hydro as well, and like their adverts are in the subway stations and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow, these people have a big audience, and I
They
didn't.
really do.
It's like a whole like world out there that I wasn't aware
It's a
of.
whole world. It's so funny because I never used to like it. And I don't really even like it now, but I do still feel a urge to like defend it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't defend it back home. I'd be like, yeah, it's fucking shite. But because I'm in Glasgow, I'm like,
Yeah.
no, guys, like it's a cultural thing.
Oh gosh.
Who else played?
I know.
C-Map
Seema,
played. She
that
was
was like,
amazing.
yeah, I would say that she was one of my highlights because I hadn't really listened to her before. Like I knew her big songs from TikTok, but I found it quite, do you know when a song's on really popular on TikTok and you just hear it so often, it's just like one part of the song that it just becomes really annoying. But when I actually like heard her playing and saw her on stage and she was really interacting with the audience and I felt like that she came across really well.
She did.
And I like her a lot of the new songs that she played. And I was like, well, don't judge an artist by their TikTok viral 15 seconds.
Don't diminish them to what they're forced to do by the record
Yeah, I
labels,
know.
like.
It's also, I guess, not really an artist's fault if they go viral on TikTok. Like,
Oh, yeah.
it's most likely because someone else made up a dance to one of their songs or
Yeah.
something like
Oh, they called
that.
it the woke Macarena.
Oh.
The I did the butcher, I did the baker. I'm not even gonna finish singing.
That's the one that really annoys me.
It's quite annoying. But it's a shame because like all her songs have quite a deep meaning. Like the new
Yeah.
album, Year Old Country, is about the Celtic Tiger in
Yeah.
Ireland.
So I felt like she was definitely one of the highlights because I thought that it would be a lot more busy when she played, but really it wasn't. We went down 5 minutes before she came on and we were quite close to the front. Yeah, there was the people in front of, I just found it quite interesting that she has like a very diverse audience. There's a lot of younger kids, but there's also a lot of like Radio 6 dads.
So many.
Like they all love her so much. And then there's the people who were standing in front of us, like this two couples, very like millennial. One of the guys is like wearing a fedora,
The
and they're all four of them are
wife was,
quite.
and she was wearing like a glittery poncho.
Yeah. So one of the guys has his girlfriend on his shoulders, and then the other, the fedora man, tries to get his girlfriend on his shoulders, but he's like really drunk and
It's all that
clearly
innocent
like
gun.
can't
The only
lift.
drink.
They only had Innocent Gun, so but he couldn't get her up on his shoulders, and then he eventually does, and she's just like falling backward, and
The
we're standing directly behind them going.
very
Someone said that to me, my God, girl, you almost died. I was like,
kind people in the audience, like
oh
the
God,
millennials.
I know.
And then the other couple, like to get off her husband's shoulders, she like slid down his front and like started making out like in like Spider-Man or something. It was so, I felt like it was a wee bit invasive to watch actually. I had to look away. I was like, let them have their
I feel
moment.
like I'm intruding on something here.
Yeah.
Like I know, like guys, in the middle of the day, like at during a scene, like she was playing at like 5 o'clock or
It's
something. Like
5 o'clock
it's
somewhere.
5 o'clock somewhere.
But
Yeah,
like,
I liked her and all the kids holding up signs and stuff like that.
That
She
was
would like
cute.
point them
I'll
out and
check
like get them
the
to like
microphone. That's
say their names and stuff like that. And I thought that was really
Yeah,
cute.
my dad does parkrun. He's like a
Yeah.
parkrun dad, and his friends from parkrun were like, oh, she's gonna be bigger than Adele, that's C-Mat.
Why is that like the
I don't
threshold?
know.
Euro Country's the one that's like about the Celtic Tiger,
Yeah, and
the most explicitly, anyway. But I
there's a
like the Jamie
whole.
Oliver one.
Oh,
I
I like
really like
that
that
one, yeah.
because I like really identify with that as someone who also doesn't like Jamie Oliver for like no
No reason
reason.
at all.
He's just really unlikable.
The intro to Euro Countries in Gaelic,
Yeah.
or Gaelic, Irish Gaelic, but I think the BBC like cut it out or
Did
something.
they really?
I
On
could be so
the
wrong right now.
iPlayer, like,
Possibly not.
recording of Belladrum?
No, not for Belgium, but for something
Or, like,
else. I
on the
think.
radio?
Yeah, they maybe removed it or something.
Oh.
But
Why?
I have
Because
no
that,
idea.
I feel like,
That could have been kneecap.
yeah, they do a lot of,
I'm gonna look it up.
their songs, they'll go back and forward between, like, Irish, Gaelic, and English.
What do you
I
think of
haven't
kneecap?
listened much to them, honestly. I guess it's not
Oh.
really my, like, sort of thing. Yeah, I don't think it's very good as a thing. Like, it's
No.
not like
I
the
think it's like
production.
overproduced
Yeah.
and it's too slick. And
Yeah.
I agree with like the politics, but like, I think Mowgli's been accused of like rape and
Yeah,
things, and no one
no,
really talks
I
about
have
that.
read about that. Like, they're, yeah, I think because they have a lot of like good politics, but them as people, like, they don't seem very like,
Moral, but I also
yeah.
think, I guess if you're a political singer, like you're going to be held to a higher standard,
That's
so people
true.
nitpick at
But also,
anything that
like,
you
see if
do.
someone raped somebody, but like they weren't singing about politics, then I would still think you were bad. Like,
that's you know? So true. There was another thing when he cut, I think, obviously the whole thing is like hashtag free Mokara, because he was mm-hmm. speaking out against the BBC.
Yeah.
But, and because they got banned from Transmit.
Yeah.
But
did their O2 gig go ahead?
Yeah, I think so. I think I read something on Instagram and a girl was saying she was complaining how they were selling free Mokara t-shirts, but mm-hmm. the proceeds were not were going not, to
yeah,
Palestine.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's aid the or thing,
because
map.
At the end of the day, they're playing all of these like big festivals, they're doing all these gigs, they're selling all the merch and everything like that. But like, they're benefiting from it more than they are, like, they're raising awareness, sure.
Yeah,
like,
they
I think a lot more
it.
People are like aware of it, aware of like the things that are going on in Palestine,
and it makes it more sorry, I've just cut you.
No, but, go ahead.
They make it maybe more palatable, as in like not taking away from the horror of it, but mm-hmm. like making it more
understandable. Yeah. yeah because I think a lot of young people and people who are not like already involved in politics, they might be seeing like stuff like that on the news and thinking, oh, that's like too much for me to like get into, like understand and read about and stuff like that. And then, but by like having people like Kneecap singing about it in their music,
mm-hmm.
it makes it easier for people to understand, and therefore like more people will hear about it and like be able to understand why it's a bad thing, obviously.
Yeah, and I think after their documentary came out, there was a massive boost in like people wanting mm-hmm. to learn Gaelic. Oh well, mm-hmm. maybe yeah, we need a Scottish, not maybe not Kneecap, because maybe a Scottish CMAT.
A
would
Scottish
be
CMAT, yeah, because she's like very mainstream. Like, I was just reading an article about her. I think it was in Vogue, and she's was talking about how like I just said cheese. She was talking about how she's going to America and like she's got a lot of new audience in America, mm-hmm. and I think we need that, but also at the same time
we
like,
don't need Americans
no,
speaking Gaelic.
Sorry,
I just totally took your point there.
Yeah, exactly. Like we need like a pop, like a Scottish pop star, but we like don't need all the Americans being like, I'm Scottish, I'm gonna learn Gaelic. No, we don't need that.
I don't want an American to come in the show and be like, Kimura how. We had an American guy come in and he went like, guten tag, and then his wife was like, shut up, Jerry, and he was like, wow, we were just in Norway. It's German.
That's not Norwegian.
And then the wife was like, that was in Germany, sweetheart. Then he was like, oh, Norway's just over there.
Lakeside.
So yeah, gosh. Scottish CMAT. Nothing like fully against Kneecap, I just don't like the style of the music.
I'm just kind of like
meh.
Yeah. They maybe, did something yeah. a bit more groovy.
Yeah, maybe like a funk Gaelic.
Yeah.
Who in the Glasgow scene do you think could pull off like a really good Gaelic song?
Lacuna.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100% because they're like
folky enough. Enough. They're not folky enough. Is it my toes you're laughing at?
What? I thought we touched toes.
Have you seen those videos of like people putting their fingers like interlocking
that
with
their toes? Can we interlock on?
Yeah, Lacuna.
Yeah, they're like the kind of obvious ones.
Maybe like Soapbox would be like the Scottish Kneecap.
Scottish Kneecap. I think if there was one, it would be them.
How'd you say I'm waiting for the bus in Gaelic?
Maybe it's
Matt Ludwig.
Yeah, I think because I mean they're quite arty, so, and they do like a lot of spoken word bits, mm-hmm. so I think that could fit in quite well.
Okay, so moving on from Seema at Belgium, we also saw Seema, she was great. Mm-hmm. We saw Supergrass, who surprised me, because I don't really know. I know like two of their songs.
Yeah.
But they were celebrating.
Caught by the Fuzz. Well, that was.
What is it called?
Caught by the Fuzz.
Caught by the Fuzz. Because the album's called Aisha Coco, and we were like, that's a fucking stupid name for an album. But then Googled it.
I mean, it is.
It is. If but you don't know the lore.
Also, my dog.
Sorry. Of course.
Thank you very much.
I'm disrespecting Coco right now.
Yep.
Coco the Cocker Spaniel.
She's actually a Springer Spaniel.
Oh shit.
She's actually a Sprocker Spaniel.
She actually.
Yeah, it's a Sprocker Spaniel. She's a lot more Springer though, in case you guys
are
wondering.
Yeah, she's got a Springer vibe about her.
She left the spring. That's for sure. Anyway, what you said? Yeah, tell us the lore.
I should coco is Cockney slang for I should think so. Like someone will say I should think so, then they go like I should coco.
I should coco.
But I don't like the album cover either. I think it's really ugly, like the three faces.
Yeah.
But maybe it's like a very 90s.
It's like 1995 thing. It came out.
Yeah, it's so, the 30th anniversary.
Yeah. They played the Barrowlands and they played just like, well, it's the same thing they did at Ballad. Well, I think they did anyway. And they just played the full album, like,
yeah,
all the way through.
And a couple others, but so they were good. Yeah. We were with like a bunch of drunk people on the hill.
All the middle-aged people. Also that mum and her son in front of us. Oh, that was cute. So cute.
She was like making him take like kunti pictures of her. And she was like,
but at the same time, it was cute because they were clearly like both enjoying a band that she liked and probably listened to when she was younger.
Or like played it in the car and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
There was also a bunch of kids like playing tag. It's quite sweet.
Oh yeah, it was a very family friend, like family focused festival. Yeah. There were so many kids, all the little babies in their wagons, like wrapped up and they're all called Olive and Angus and Rory and
Seamus.
What are Pickle, the other like girl names?
Malaria.
Tampax.
Fern.
Fern. See, I like the name Fern, so I can't even.
I think it only works on the right baby. Like yeah, if the baby true. Looks Scottish enough or mm-hmm. Irish or whatever.
You wouldn't have an American baby called Fern, I don't think.
And I feel like it's too. I feel like on TikTok, I always see baby American babies called like Fern, then the brother's Ayla. Called like Stick.
Yeah.
Something.
Oh, God. We also saw the ABBA tribute band, Gimme ABBA.
Yeah, I really thought we were going to die in there. We were right in the middle with all like the school kids. And we knew they were school kids because they would sing Dancing Queen, but like, point only 17. It's like, God, we're a bunch of like, sick fears right now.
Yeah, no, but even younger than that, though, because mm-hmm. see, like, there was a girl trying to chat up a guy behind us, and she was like, yeah, I'm in fifth year. What year are you in? And I was like, oh,
come to my
God.
17th birthday party.
Yeah.
And a girl next to us, she got kicked in the face because a guy fell off his friend's shoulders, and when I like she was lobbed.
Yeah, no, it was really bad because they were she all laughed. They were all no, but see when you're in that situation, you're like a teenager and you just feel like you have to take anything because you don't want to like get upset and like have people make fun of you. But no, like it was really, they were all very drunk, they were all very rowdy, and none of them knew any of the words to any of the ABBA songs. Really? I was shocked. I was appalled.
Disappointed.
Yeah, for real.
So I would say if you go to Belgium and you want to see, like, you want a good spot, the hill and the hot house stage mm-hmm. is really chill.
Yeah. And you still get a good view.
Mm-hmm.
Going down is good. And you don't have to, like, fight your way to the front for, like, anybody, really.
Yeah.
Which
unless
is good.
Unless it's Skippin'-ish.
Oh, yeah. No, that you'd want to, guys.
And who else did we see?
We saw Natasha. Natasha Bedingfield. Yeah.
It was very, like, you know that meme of... Shit, who is it? Is it Wendy Williams going like, oh, whoa!
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, whoa! It was like that.
Oh, yeah. She just kept randomly going, yeah, yeah. She just sung a bunch of covers.
She did.
And, like, obviously, she herself, like, has a lot of very, very popular songs, mm-hmm. but she only sung her really massive ones, like, The Rest Is Still Unwritten, mm-hmm. and then she would randomly just start singing Fleetwood Mac and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was TikToking the whole thing. She was like, you guys, you never know what's going to happen on TikTok. Like, one thing could blow up.
I know.
Like, God, it must be horrible being a musician right now.
Because like, that's what they have to think of. They're like, what's going to be my viral moment? But it's true that a lot of these artists I first saw on TikTok, like, that's the case with CMAP for me. Mm-hmm. I was actually thinking the other day, when the first time that I ever saw Chapel Roan mm-hmm. was on Twitter, and it was after her Tiny Desk, and it was like... summer 2023, so I think that was pre The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess, but only by like a little bit. Yeah,
and it only kind of picked up a year after mm-hmm. it came out. Yeah,
and so I just thought she looked weird. but I heard people saying she was a lesbian, and I was like,
you're like, oh my God.
But you know, being a lesbian doesn't mean you make good music. Sorry.
Well, for Chapel
it does
I think.
It does.
The Subways are really, it sounds like a Lush song.
It does.
Like, see the very start, like the.
Yeah. There's like a
a shoegazy undertone.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And it's kind of electronic. And the music video is good. I like that.
Because she's such a good singer. Like, a lot of these, like, shoegaze bands, they can't sing.
Yeah.
A lot of them can.
Because they have,
like,
to, like, really turn down their vocals and have, like, the guitars on top.
And, like, full, like, bzzz.
Yeah.
But her vocals are so crisp in that song. I just, it's so good.
It's perfect. Like, it's just, like, an amazing single. And I have liked a lot of new albums recently. And we'll get into that a little bit. But I've liked, like, the CMAT one and stuff like that. But see that single, see The Subway by Chapel Roan, is just...
It's lush.
So good.
Lush. I listened to the CMAT album this morning.
Yeah, I just finished listening to it today also.
I'm just going to see my favourite song.
Mine was the Jamie Oliver Petrol Station.
Take a Sexy Picture of Me is really good. That was also on TikTok quite a lot.
Take a Sexy Picture. What's the other one? That
Running and Planning is good. When a Good Man Cries, Euro Country,
I like that one, yeah.
Janis Joplin. What do you think of the cover?
I think it's quite ugly, but like in a, like it's Kitch. Supposed to be that way. Yeah. It's like those pictures of like the dolphins jumping out of the water with a rainbow in the background and stuff like that.
And like, you know when you go to the shows?
Yeah, like the stuff that you see on the side of the like
artwork.
on the side of like Freefall.
And it's like Elvis with like John Travolta.
And Marilyn Monroe. Yeah.
They're actually pretty cool. I feel like that style's gonna be really big.
Yeah, I think that's gonna have like some kind of like ironic comeback in all of these like American fashion girlies will be wearing it on like handbags and t-shirts and
so get
like
it in Poundland while you can,
yeah
guys, or like a charity shop
and then
something.
Sell it on Depop,
make it into like a boob tube, which is just a bandeau now, everyone calls it.
Or like the way that people sell like their brownies uniforms on Depop for like, they're like Y2K baby tee and it's literally like their brownies sexter t-shirt or something. Like,
and last thing on Belgium, we missed Texas.
My mom was raging. She's like, how did you do that? How did you manage that? And I was like, I don't know, like we went back to the tent because we were watching Becca Sloan. And then we were like, oh, so are you going home after this to Becca Sloan? She was like, oh yeah, we're just leaving. And I was like thinking to myself, oh well, it's not really.
She doesn't want to go see
yet.
Texas.
She doesn't want to go see Texas. You may as well. But turns out Texas was playing at the same time as her.
Because we went back to the tent to like pee, and then this little guy was chatting to me, and I was like,
and I was standing at the tent more with the toilet, and I was just standing there waiting for her. I had like changed into my jeans, and then suddenly I just see all these fireworks. Oh god!
And I saw the fireworks at the toilet, and I said to the guy, I was like, oh, like it's a bit early for the fireworks. And he was like, no, it's the end. Like, Texas are done. I was like, what? We missed
like,
Texas.
Running back. It's so funny because, like, that's not like a big deal for me. Like, I'm not like a huge Texas fan. But it felt like we should have seen them because they were like the main headliner. Because that was the Saturday. It was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Which Margot kindly explained to me is because they all have to go to church on Sunday.
So I actually found out. There's two reasons. So one of the, people are funny about Sundays.
Yeah.
But also I think one of like the local village shows is on a Sunday.
Oh.
So they don't want to interfere with that either.
Too kind.
But yeah, and Gokwan DJ set was great.
Gokwan DJ set.
Put your hands up for Gokwan.
That was so good. That was amazing. It was so funny because like he was so commanding.
Yeah. You're like, okay, Mr. Wan.
He was playing some good stuff. It was very like 80s and 90s like dance stuff. And then he'd put like some popular tracks to get people like going.
Are you ready, Belladrum?
No, yeah, because he kept being like, put your hands up. I'm serious, put your hands up.
Okay.
Like, get your hands up right now. I was like, our hands are up, Mr. Wan. Like, I can't put them any further up. But no, it was a lot of fun. And I just think it was so funny because the whole time there was this like middle-aged couple standing behind us and looked like the most like sensible people I've ever seen in my life.
They like had, leggings like, and dress.
Like, no, they had like walking shoes on and waterproof jackets and stuff like that. But the woman was getting crazy. She was like, and her husband was just like.
And so many people didn't know who Gokwan was. Like,
no,
when
I
went to work the few days later.
It makes me feel a bit old.
Yeah, people didn't know who he was.
He's an icon. He's a legend.
He's an icon?
I wish we could have seen him up a bit closer because I couldn't really see him that well. And who else did we see?
Oh, Stuart Murdoch.
Stuart Murdoch!
From Belle and Sebastian.
Stuart Murdoch. We didn't even know he was going to be there, and then we're reading the little the little paper, and so we just went along to see him, and he was just yapping.
Yapping about his new book.
Although
Yeah, so the girl interviewing him used, she didn't know who they were, which is like fair because like when you get assigned to these
but at the
gigs, like you
same
don't really know who
time,
people are sometimes.
yeah, you're right.
But she was using ChatGPT to get the questions, which is a bit weird.
I think in her questions that she had got from ChatGPT weren't even that like in depth or like specific to Stuart Murdoch or his book.
No.
So it's kind of like you could have just Googled a synopsis of the book, Googled a little bit about him, read some of his other interviews, and just written the same questions and like all in like an hour, and she had loads of time before this Q&A.
Well, we don't know that, to be
No,
fair.
but when we heard her talking about this was like 10:30, and the Q&A, I think it was at like 2:15 or something.
Yeah.
So it couldn't be me.
Yeah. It's a bit of a shame. I think that's
Yeah.
just the way of the world right now, you know? It's
I
just the way
know.
journalism's going, unfortunately.
It's just crazy,
At least we're not
like.
using it right now, you know?
Oh no, we never do that to you
The next one's
guys.
gonna be like AI generated.
Trust. Do you think
I
we've made
love this.
enough? Do you think we've made enough podcasts that we could put them into an AI thing and have them generate like a next episode of Message from Home?
Like us, but like us
But
being
it's like our
cancelled. Oh,
voices.
yeah, probably.
That's
I wouldn't want to do
Epcot.
that though.
No, I would never do that, guys.
They'd know too much about us, the robots in space. So, whatever gigs did you go to? I went to Lana Del Rey
You did.
at Hampton
So
Park.
how was she on stage on time?
No, maybe like an hour late, maybe half an hour, 40 minutes late, maybe an hour.
Oof.
And
Why
she
is that just
hologrammed her
her?
ass onto the stage. It's like Ethel Kane's sister said, "No, I can't wait to see a hologram of you singing while you have a vape break,
Yeah,
diva," which
that's
is kind of sums up the gig, actually.
yeah.
I really liked it though. Like she was really good when she was there.
When it was her for real, not when it was a hologram.
Lana era is a bit weird.
Yeah.
She's
She's busy with her new
okay. Her boyfriend,
Yeah.
husband. I had tickets this year in 2019, 2020, but it got cancelled.
Oh.
We waited outside for hours,
Yeah, I
and there
bet.
was one part of Hamden where you could go to, like, so you had to queue up in the normal bit, but then there was these, like, mysterious columns that looked like where we would end up going when the gates opened, but me and Shania were like, "No, we'll just wait." And then it turns out it was those ones, but we were contemplating sitting there for ages, and
Yeah.
everyone, like, ran, but me and Shania got to the front.
You got
So.
to the front.
Not of Lana, but of like
Oh,
the queue to
right.
get out of the front. It was so cool. Well, not the first, obviously, but like,
Ever. Yeah.
yeah, it was
So
really
how
cool.
like close were you to the stage?
So we were like, there, the gold circle was here. We were just behind the gold circle because we didn't pay for those
Yeah.
tickets. And we were, I kind of wish we got, I wish we paid just a wee bit extra because
Yeah.
everyone who was standing in front of us, first of all, they had a better view, but also for the gold circle, they weren't close for the gold circle, but they could still move around freely.
Yeah.
And
Oh,
no one was
yeah.
shoving them, and we were getting shoved by two German girls next to us, and they were getting really annoyed. And we had two
I'd want to see
Spanish,
Lana Del Rey.
literally.
I went a bit French there.
I want to see Lana.
I want to see Lana.
Anyway,
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag. There was like these two
Guten
Spanish guys
Tag.
behind us who were really nice. Like they
It's
took a picture of
crazy.
us. And...
Like people travel for these. Like, that's
Oh,
what I
they
realize
do.
when I go to big gigs like Chaperone and stuff like that. Like so many people travel for them.
But it was really good. She was a hologram for two songs, Arcadia and Norman Rockwell, which was really annoying because that's like her best song. Arcadia was like meh. But the
Oh.
best song she sang was Ultraviolence, I think. She had a
Ooh.
pole dancer on one of the sides. It was really cool.
That's
But yeah,
Solana.
Solana.
I know,
It's just
for
not
real.
great. But she spent, after she finished performing, she spent a good half hour at the front speaking to everyone who was at the front, so
Really? Oh, that's so good.
it was nice of her.
Well, at least she makes up for being late by doing things like that.
Then she said, after she sang Video Games, she was like, "It really is all for
Video
you,
games.
Glasgow."
Oh my God.
I was like, "Yes!" She's speaking directly
It's
to
you.
me.
Oh my God, it's really all for you, Margot.
I love her. I really do love her. I wish I saw her when Norman Rockwell came out because that's my
Yeah.
favorite album. But actually, no, Chemtrail is amazing as well. But anyway,
You
that
like
was my. I love
chemtrails? Oh
Chemtrails.
my God.
Do you don't?
No.
What about White Dress? White Dress is literally us though, because it's like when I was a waitress, not that bit, but down at the Men with the Music Business
Oh,
Conference, down in Orlando, I
that's
was
how I
only
feel at
19. Yeah,
networking.
literally.
I just like the earlier just like your earlier stuff.
Yeah.
The stuff that I used to listen to when I was like literally like 12, because I've never really,
internet restriction was not a thing.
Yeah. And I never really had like a big phase of her past. That. Like when I was younger, I used to like Summertime Sadness because for some reason my dad had the remix of that and he'd play it in the car. And then I really liked Puppy Love, which was like an unreleased demo that I had.
Sing it because I forget.
It's just Puppy Love, Puppy Love.
It was playing in TK Maxx the other day, one of her unreleased songs. The
That's really weird.
I'm spinning.
Oh, like that went quite viral on TikTok, yeah. I think. But yeah, I liked that one, and I also liked just like her quite basic ones.
Yeah, which is so fair because they are really good. Yeah. I got into her like when Norman Rockwell came out. It was so good. It was like the best. Such a good album. I still love her. She was, the thing is like people went to the concert thinking they'd get a performance and it's like you're not going to get a performance with her. Like
not
it's
going to yeah,
it's going to be like a chill, actually not chill because her fans are fucking crazy. Yeah. But
it's kind of weird though because they're free. A lot of her fan base probably overlaps with a lot of other popular pop singers.
Definitely.
And what I've realized from going to bigger gigs recently, because I've been going to a lot with my sister, and we'll go see like Sabrina Carpenter, Chappell Roan and stuff like that, they really do put on a show. And with Lana Del Rey, like that's just not gonna happen. Like all these people have these really elaborate sets and like costume changes and like they'll be dancing and choreography and like just that's not Lana Del Rey.
Yeah.
But people I think do people expect
them, that. I feel like people put them in the same kind of Venn diagram, but I think all their influences are so different. Like when you look at Sabrina Carpenter, you can see a bit of like the sort of 1950s almost, like with I nearly said Madonna. She's not that like Marilyn Monroe.
Like in her style, kind of her persona.
Same with Addison Rae. I read about Addison Rae. She did an interview and she like has studied Judy Garland and Marilyn Monroe for years.
Yeah.
Like to kind of build her own persona,
which is really weird because if you look at her, she's like the most like she like walks around in tiny little like
kitten heels,
like crop tops and like shorts, and I sound like I'm slut shaming her, but like you know what I mean, she's very like 2000s like Paris Hilton-y more so than like Marilyn Monroe.
I think she said something about how no one in the South she's from the South, and she said something about how no glamorous person would say y'all or something like that. So she's, I think she maybe took kind of class lessons from Marilyn Monroe, and then maybe she looked at Britney Spears.
Yeah.
And like the kind of pop girls of the early 2000s. Whereas Lana Del Rey obviously takes inspiration from like Mazzy Star and like these kind of.
But also she spoke, like sung in her songs a lot about like Marilyn Monroe and like all the like 50s, like pin-up kind of girlies.
There was one, maybe Lana Turner. Because Lana Del Rey, I think there's something to do with that, and the way she talked. Oh, apparently she had a secret Instagram account all about Sharon Tate, and she's like obsessed with Sharon Tate. Apparently, so I guess like the likely 1760s and that is probably really influential to her.
Yeah.
So I think you. I don't think you can compare these pop girlies. I think they're all doing their own thing, and then Chappell Roan's completely different from Sabrina and Lana. Like she's kind of in her own lane.
I know, because Chappell takes, I feel like, more inspiration from like drag and stuff like that, like definitely looks wise and like performance wise. And then Sabrina Carpenter, because the times I've seen her, she's done this whole it's like a 50s like or 60s sitcom, and she'll like have it playing and then she comes out on stage with just the towel thing, and it's all very like pin-up-y and like, you know. And then
it reminds me of, sorry, I just cut you.
No, it's okay. But then again, like her music is very kind of like 80s pop. Like when I was listening to her new album, I felt like some of the songs sounded quite like 70s disco-y. But she, like, cause she recently had Duran Duran came out on stage and did a song with her. I can't remember which one.
Was it Hungry Like a Wolf?
I think it was Hungry Like a Wolf, but I don't want to say that because I was wrong. And then when I saw her the last time, she did a cover of It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls. So she does have like a very like kind of classic pop kind of thing about her.
She's quite interesting. That's another one that my dad's got an app called Press Reader on his iPad, and you can read Rolling Stone articles. Yeah. So I read the feature they did with Sabrina Carpenter, and she's actually like not saying like she's actually smart, guys, but like, she's actually very like she knows exactly what she's doing.
Oh no, yeah, she,
like her marketing like, is so
calculated, mm-hmm. and like it, you know, it's not like she's not bimboish at all.
Yeah, she's like, not pandering to like
no
pedophiles, like people are saying.
People
like,
do say that, yeah. Because like I have, she definitely has like a like her whole thing is being like short and sweet,
yeah,
like,
literally,
and like saying about sex, and that's like some people could say that like she's pandering to pedophiles,
the male gaze,
and like the male gaze, and like making herself seem like a young girl. And my like I was speaking to my dad about this, and he was saying, oh, but she like has such a young audience, and she's singing about sex, and like that's bad because she's like being so explicit about it. And I'm mm-hmm. like, she's a grown woman. She can do whatever
but
she
we
wants.
We were listening like, to Ariana Grande yeah. when we were younger, and like
I think
Lady
it's maybe
Gaga.
Because Sabrina Carpenter's just like so explicit about it. Like she like yeah. she just says it. Like see her like her new one, her first song on her album is called Tears,
uh-huh.
and it's whatever like. You get me so wet when you act like a responsible guy.
Oh my
it's
like, god.
It's like the first lyric.
But her audience is a lot of like late teens, early 20s yeah, girlies. Like yeah. people, it's a lot of teenagers, but I think the younger kids, they don't care about the lyrics. Mm-hmm. You know, like we, like, you know, do you remember that Rihanna song, Rude Boy?
Yeah, and like, also, you know, what's the other Rihanna song that I was actually thinking about the other day? Because he played it while I was at Chapel Row, like in between.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, sticks and stones
may break my bones.
And I remember listening to that when I was younger and being like, what does it mean? Like,
yeah, like you just don't know.
Yeah.
You just like the sound of it when yeah. you're that age. And with Sabrina Carpenter as well, like, I think it's quite interesting the contrast. Obviously, she kind of has the look of like a 50s pinup doll. Mm-hmm. But
then she's quite
she's
crude.
Way more progressive. Yeah. Like, she's crude in the way that, like, she. Like, those 50s pinup girls were not really socially allowed to talk about sex yeah. and stuff, but then she just does it, and it's kind yeah. of... I think she's ahead of the curve a bit, yeah. you know? I think people are being a bit
I like her.
Rude to yeah. her.
I think there's a lot of negativity around here, but that just, like, also comes from the fact that she's a woman being very explicit
yeah,
about sex, mm-hmm. and that's, like, still very frowned upon, even if we think we are quite progressive in society.
Exactly. Especially like
feminism.
You know that interview Lady Gaga, and she goes like, if I was a guy
yeah.
talking about fucking chicks and cars, you'd all call me a rock star. Because I'm a woman, none of you care.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what, she's so right.
She's right. She has a point, guys. But yeah, no. There's much to be said about Sabrina Carpenter.
There really is.
She's quite like, because I've like read massive think pieces about, you know, she's done like photo shoots that are similar to like scenes in Lolita, like
yeah.
the film, and like she did a whole like underwear campaign with Skims, I think,
mm-hmm.
That like the set dressing was like a teenage bedroom, and she was like lounging about in her underwear, and there is like, but that's just like pop star stuff.
Yeah.
Like they were doing that to Britney Spears when she was like actually a child.
Yeah,
like,
it was so much worse when,
you know,
and, like years ago.
Yeah.
Like they might as well be able to take the power of it and like want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead yeah. of like kind of being forced.
But then
into
is that choice feminism?
But you know someone who's not a choice feminist? Blondshell. She Ooh. Came out with a new album, mm-hmm. maybe in May, but it's really good. It's called If You Ask for a Picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's very like grungy. So Blondshell, it's like her sort of grappling with relationships, and mm-hmm. it's very, you know what, like I was listening to it and I was thinking, this is for kind of people like coming to terms with their traumas and mm-hmm. things, because there's a song called What's Fair that's about her mum who died, and it's like, it's really crude. It's very like Alanis Morissette
yeah.
kind of. Yeah, I really like Blondshell. I'll definitely go see her.
Yeah, do. Lord. Well, I'm seeing her.
Are you?
No,
are you
in November.
Sister?
Yeah.
Damn.
My sister likes
her. I want to go see her. Maybe not in the Hydro, though. I'd rather see her in the yeah. smaller, like the Barras, like
well,
four nights at
the
Barras.
Like, Seema's doing 3 nights at the Barland.
Oh, is she?
And I think that's such, like, so much of
more
a
intimate.
Better idea. Because I was reading some. Whenever I say I was reading this, mm-hmm. it's usually an article, but a lot of the times it's also a Reddit thread.
No, like, that's so.
But you know,
it's valid
it's,
though.
It's
Reddit's great
to hear what people have to say, especially on like the Glasgow subreddit and stuff like that.
Yeah.
People were talking about how they're sick of going to see these bands at the Hydro who like can't even sell out the Hydro because there's just no middle venue with a kind of capacity that's maybe closer to like 5,000. Like, because there's quite a big jump between the O2 and the Hydro, and there should be something in between, which I guess would have been like the ABC. Because I just think that there's a lot of bands have played at the Hydro recently who I just don't think are that suited for the Hydro,
I
and it
don't
kind
want
of takes like the fun out of going to a gig there. Because I'm seeing My Bloody Valentine there, and I'm
That's
thinking
so wrong
be
for
so
them.
much better if they did like 5 nights at the
Yeah,
Barlands or
because
something
like
like.
they don't suit that kind of atmosphere. Like the
No.
Oval to me, like, right, this is so random. I saw Central Cee at the Oval.
Did you do the Pink Panther song? Did
Yeah.
he
Wait,
actually?
no. Wait, I don't know that. Sorry.
That's the one that's like oh God, what, he just like features on it. It is a
Oh,
Pink Panther song, so I don't
right.
know what it is.
Like that works for Oval because it's
Yeah.
that kind of like elaborate, very high tech,
Yeah.
massive set
And I
design.
saw Olivia Rodrigo there and I felt like that worked very
Yeah,
well.
because it's like a very professional, not saying that like My Bloody Valentine aren't professional, but like on like a technical level, their management or whoever were like, well, realistically, like based on data, you know, you'll probably sell X amount of tickets. Therefore, and it's probably too expensive to hire the bars for like 5 nights or whatever. So they were like, okay, let's just do the, for whatever fucking reason, let's do the Hydro.
But it is what it is.
It is what
It
it
is what it
is.
is.
And Wolf Alice are playing at the Oval as well. And
Yeah.
I just, I know they're kind of going for the guy Liam Cole on TikTok said this. He's like the, he'd, why wear that? And he goes over like fashion trends. He's really funny. But he was saying that they're doing like the Fleetwood Mac thing where like they're trying to like try out everything and be a bit different. But I just
That's
think their
interesting.
last album was so much better than this
Yeah.
one. I really like this one, but the last one was just like different. It was so good. The new album's
I
called The
like the one that
Clearing.
has Lisbon on it.
And then this one, The Sofa, is really good. Like the Let Me Lie Here On. But yeah, so that came out. What's next?
We always sing in these and then we regret singing
Yeah, I need to stop actually. And
them.
you went to see Stereolab
I did. That was ages ago. That
in
was like,
Amsterdam.
yeah, I saw them in
I'm
Amsterdam.
shivering.
It feels like a million years ago. It was the 31st of May.
That's a while ago.
For reference, today's the 1st of
And
September.
this will be out on the
15th, maybe. That's our 1 year anniversary. Yes, I went to see them, Stereolab in Amsterdam. It was so good. They're just my favorite band ever. Like, I have nothing to say. And I was at the front for the first time. It's the third time I've seen them. And I was meters away from Letitia City here, and I was going. And I saw some video of the gig on YouTube afterwards, and I was like the only person dancing, but I didn't
Really?
realize because I was at the front. It was me and a woman who was standing next to me, and we were both
Oh, that's cute.
and I just was like so humiliated when I saw that video. But it was fun. I was having the time of my life. Their new album is good. I like it. What can I say? Like, they're just amazing. Their support was Manuela.
Okay.
How can I pronounce that
How
wrong?
do
It's
I
like the
say? How do you
easiest. How do you
say?
say? And she was good as well. I like her. Apparently, the keyboardist in her band was in Franz Ferdinand.
Oh, okay, that's cool. You went to Glasgow's Pop as well.
I
And
did.
that is like a indie
Foodie.
convention in Glasgow.
Yeah, it is.
Run by an American, but
Two
anyway,
Americans.
two
They're
Americans.
actually really nice.
That's cool. And you met some really interesting
We
bands.
did. I think it's really nice, Glasgow's Pop. This is the second year that I've went, but it attracts people from like all over the world. It's not just Glasgow, and they have bands from all over the world. This year, the two headlining bands were both from Glasgow, the Soup Dragons and the Pastels. But they had a lot of Americans. They had English bands. Like it's very like diverse in that way, and like so many people travel for it. But it's just fun. It was a nice weekend. Just you talk to people that you like wouldn't normally talk to. I was just like, hi everybody, I don't know what's going on.
It's me, Nina.
And then the second day I had like, oh, I shouldn't talk about this, but I got a bit drunk.
On the second? Oh,
I've had,
it's like a 2-day thing.
Yeah, so it's like Friday, Saturday. No, I'm not going to talk about getting
drunk. Oh, about Martin
drunk.
Pike?
Oh, yeah, no. Him. No, so yeah, I spoke to Martin Pike on the Friday, not when I was drunk.
And that's the manager of Stereolab.
Stereolab's manager. So yeah, I met Stereolab's manager and I was going to my friend and her dad. I swear to God, guys, that's Stereolab's manager over there. And he was probably looking at us like, and they're like, we don't know, like, because we don't know what he looks like. And I was like, guys, I know what he looks like. He's served me at Meristall before. That is Martin Pike. And then they were like, oh, go up to him then. And I was like, wait, no, like, I'm not that sure about it. Like, I'm not actually going to ask him. And then they ended up speaking to him and told me to come over. And I was like, he shook my hand. He went, hello, Nina.
Hello, Nina. I should go, it's Nina.
Of course, it's my you, Martin. I should have gone. And then he sent a parcel with some Stereolab merch in it, which was so kind, really amazing, really cool. And all the bands were really great. Of course, the Pastels and the Soup Dragons were great. And then who else was playing? V Twin are like a Glasgow band who were about in the 90s but haven't played for like a really long time, and they were quite good. I wasn't sure what I was expecting, but it probably wasn't that. But like, I still enjoyed it. It's an indie pop festival, so all of the bands were very twee. There was one band. Maybe I shouldn't say their name. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever.
One of the bands was ass.
One of them. No, oh, no.
Sorry,
They weren't ass. They per se. No, they were good, but they just sounded just like Teenage Fan Club to me.
So it's like a lot of these, it's hard to find a, like, if you're inspired by a band that's technically quite simple, it's hard to kind of like, because when you really like a band, like if you were a musician, I imagine like you'd really want to use them as an influence and make that kind of obvious in a way, because it's like, you know, you want to remind people of a certain band, so it must be quite hard to like
make it your own.
Yeah,
definitely. But I did find like with a lot of these new like indie pop bands, like I like them, but they do sound really similar to older bands of the same genre, because you're right, the older bands are technically quite simple, and so there's not too much to like, well, actually you would think that that would make it easier to build off
that's
of
true,
that
true,
and
yeah.
Like make it your own, but also like, I don't know, it's just like that sound, the very like jangly kind of
jangle pop. Oh, I just can't.
Yeah, Margot's, that's not really your thing, really.
I like it. I like Horse Jumper of Love. They're like from Boston. I think, I don't know if they're jangly though.
Yeah,
it's hard to know. I mean, the chords are good.
I like the chords. Yeah,
it's just like, it's just too reminiscent of like an older genre, and by that standard it attracts a different crowd, and it's like, you don't want to be stuck in one place because you're a nostalgia act.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Not saying that it's like that black and white, because like, I'm sure
they do have younger fans as well, but like, if I was a younger musician, I would probably want,
you want to push some boundaries, or
whoa, you're gonna get crazy. No, I would want like people my age to be listening to my music, and for it to be like engaging to a new audience as well, because I think that's a good sign that you're doing something like interesting and exciting,
like your friends and your friends' parents, but not just the parents.
Yeah,
like, you know,
don't sound mean though.
That's not mean, is it? I don't know.
Well, I don't know, it's true.
Yeah, it's true. But it doesn't mean it's bad, it just means that, well, maybe people like attracting, maybe people like having their niche audience.
I've spoken to Radhika about this before, and she says she likes playing gigs to an older audience, like, because she thinks that it's like less drama. So I think
maybe more smooth.
There's a point there to be made.
Smoother sailing.
Yeah.
Everyone has to go home at like 10:30 because they're like, my knees. I'm like that. See when there's more than like four bands, I'm like, I can't be here. I need to go home.
That's me at the bigger gigs like Chaperone and stuff like that. Because you have to stand for so long.
It's painful.
And
it's horrible.
Like, you're just packed in, and like, when I saw Chapel Roan recently in Edinburgh. I waited, it was 1 hour and 15 minutes between the opening act and Chapel Roan.
So that means that people want to start missing the opening as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it like, it deters people from coming to see like smaller opening acts.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay. Moving on.
Stop talking about Glasgow's pop.
Did you like write anything? Did you like, you have a zine now with Radhika?
Oh yeah.
That happened this summer, did it? Or was it before?
No, that was this summer. That was like just before I went away on holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So Radhika and I are starting a little project called Metronomic Underground. And we interviewed the band Puppy Teeth from Glasgow.
They're Edinburgh, are they?
They're from Edinburgh.
Sorry.
Oh, it's just
no. I was just about to Margot's playing to you. Anyway.
Yeah, that was fun. So we're going to be doing like little video documentary, very like short kind of short and sweet of the interview, and then putting it also into a zine which will also have other stuff in it. We're both quite busy though. It's been a busy summer.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been very busy. We've not been doing this. But like everything's getting back into the swing of it, and so we'll be starting that soon. It's called Metronomic Underground. You should go and follow us on Instagram and stuff like that.
Yep.
And apart from that, I've not really written much. I wrote after House Guest. I'm sure we've made an episode since House Guest. Was he in the park one?
Oh yeah.
I guess we didn't really talk about House Guest in that one. And the one before that was like pre-House Guest because we were interviewing
Kindred
Flat and Scottish Music Collective. But I wrote a House Guest review or write up. And then I decided to stop studying journalism. I changed my whole career path. Yeah. So yeah, that's a big thing that happened for me.
What's the process behind not doing journalism?
I basically kind of was just thinking this over and thinking, if I'm having any doubts about this at all, then it's probably not like the right thing that I should be doing.
But you find that a lot of these kind of music-y people are not very settled, and they probably won't be able to settle for a long time. Like a lot of music journalists are kind of doing like four jobs.
Yeah.
And you know, it should be more appreciated really, because it is important.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was listening to the Polyester podcast this morning because it comes out every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about how, like, you know how Taylor Swift has announced her like
engagement
and her new album and all that shit. They were saying how, like, because she has her own like media verse, there's no room for critics anymore to come in and kind of say, it's like to interview her. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't want an outside opinion. She only wants the Taylor Swift machine.
Yeah.
And like, her fans are obviously a bit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not doing anything for journalism when there's so much opportunity there for like journalism to blossom. Like, who knows? It's a shame though. They were also talking about, it's really interesting how like Zane Lowe and that, he's just, there was like a PR man really, because he doesn't criticize anyone he interviews. He's like best friends with them, or you know, acting like they're best friends, and it's like, but he's not actually critiquing it. Like he's not being a critic, he's just being a fan.
But I think that's a lot of music journalism now. Like if you look at, like, you know, Amelia
Chicken Shop
Chicken Shop Girl, it's just like a conversation. Like there's no hard questions that ever get asked, then these are like some of the most mainstream kind of, you know, the, if someone I can't get my words out, if a big celebrity releases a new album, they'll do the kind of rounds and they'll go on Chicken Shop Date, like Hot Ones. It's all like the same kind of stuff. It's very just like, there's never any hard questions asked, and it's not like I need all these celebrities to like be grilled on political topics or like social issues or anything, but it's just
sad.
I don't know, it's kind of just like, oh, okay.
like who cares?
Yeah.
Something I really don't like as well is, you know, the guy who sings really badly?
Benson Boone.
No, Benson Boone's really good in his own right. But you know, like, the guy, he sings really badly in front of celebrities, like, their song, like, he went up to Dua Lipa. This guy is now being used as, like, a way to promote music, because Wolf Alice, he sang really shitly to Wolf Alice, but obviously it's, like, set up. And I just think that's so, like, it's such sad, it's just a sad world that we live in, that musicians have to work with, like, these rage-baiting people.
Yeah.
And same with, like, the people running up to you in the street, what are you listening to?
Yeah.
And it's like, the artist now does those videos with like the guy who does the original one, and it's just,
it's all trends. Like, it's all for for TikTok short form and content. Short form like reels and stuff.
Bring back zines, guys.
And it's also like they get dated so fast.
Yeah.
Because when like you look at any of these, they're all like passing trends, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look back at them and even like a year's time, you're gonna be like, oh, this is so cringe.
Because yeah.
And then the artist, I feel like
they lose their integrity.
They lose their integrity, exactly. Yeah.
Although there's a really good zine called Coop Domain like personalized zines around, like they did one for Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
They did one for Fontaines DC, like Finwolf Hard,
mm-hmm.
Inhaler. And it's very fan focused. Like it's questions from fans, difficult questions as well, not just like, your album is amazing. Like, what was your favorite song to write?
Yeah.
Like they were asking Inhaler about like, the violence in their audiences and stuff, and it's quite interesting.
I think that's so much more like beneficial for everybody.
And you have a physical zine as well, which is like really nice to have.
Love
and you
can the keep physical that media, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Anyway, I can't even remember what we were talking about just then.
I asked you about before like the metronomic zine, and
then
we moved on to terrible trends that artists are doing to promote their music.
Yeah.
But on another note,
you've been writing a lot for Clash. You spoke to Katie Gregson McLeod, who we also saw at Belladrum, who I forgot to talk about.
She was really good. See, this is the thing, like I think interviews are so much more interesting than like reviews. I hate writing reviews, I think they suck. Low-key. I really hope no one's listening, like anyone from Clash isn't listening, but like interviews are so much more fun because you can like create a narrative around an artist, and you can also, like with Katie, because she's from Inverness, like I met her in person.
Yeah.
And like, you can talk about that very moment in time. Like, you can talk about the atmosphere, the weather.
The description, I think, is See, that's the thing. For me, if I write a review, I much prefer to write a gig review than an album review or anything like that. Like, have you ever tried to write a single review?
That sucks.
It's the most horrible thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But see, a gig review is like some of my favorite things I've ever written have been gig reviews, because you can really like just capture the moment, and like that I like the describing it all, and,
like the flowery, like all this perfect, like
my lecturers hated that when I would write like
that's
that
such a shame.
And it's so annoying because I love reading things that are written like that.
It's so important for music journalism because it's all about culture, so if you're not commenting on the culture, you're not really talking about music. Like, so if you go to a gig and you're not talking about what people are wearing, what people are saying, like the age group, you're not doing a good review because like you have to encompass like everything.
The moment.
Yeah, like the whole moment.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, music journalism is actually so special, but no one appreciates it. Like I think it's so cool.
Pay us better.
It's so cool that you get like you have access to musicians and that you can like, capture them in a moment. Like I hate doing Zoom interviews, which is all I've done with Clash. Like,
yeah,
I interviewed Keo, which would have been really interesting in person, sort of like an up-and-coming band. We had to be on Zoom, and it's like it rushes things, the band,
so awkward.
Yeah, it's awkward, and like sometimes they don't want to say too much, and the PR are really,
it's more sanitized version of like interviewing someone rather than being a person, because in person I feel like you're more likely to say things like off the cuff, and I feel like that's where the like it gets more interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And you can have a longer conversation. Yeah. And by leaving, you
see
know
what they're wearing and what they're drinking and the silly things.
And like instead of just pressing hang up, it's like they have to physically leave, you know, like can't just, if things are getting, I don't know, like when I did an interview once, the PR person was in the call.
Oh, God,
I was like, that's just so weird.
Yeah.
Like, leave. But I can understand why, because there's so much pressure on artists to not say the wrong thing. So say if I were to publish something and then like they're talking shit about something or someone, they might panic and be like, oh my god, like people are gonna hate me.
Yeah.
But yeah. Just don't let print die, guys.
No, guys, please.
Save journalism. It's
buy magazines. If you live in Glasgow, go to Ripe Mag. I think the prices of magazines really puts people off.
Definitely. It's not accessible. There's smaller magazines like DIY and Dork, and they're only a fiver.
Yeah.
Actually, I say only. Fiverr's quite a lot. But
because when I look back to when I used to buy Vogue and stuff like that, it was only like £2.
Oh, yeah.
Like £1 or something.
Vogue's actually kind of fun to buy. It makes you feel kind of classy. But then you open it and you're like, what am I looking at? Yeah, you cut it up.
Yeah. But
no, please read some magazine somewhere, maybe like even like W Magazine, Interview Magazine, Face, Dazed.
Dazed.
Bricks is a good one as well. It's a more kind of independent one.
Yeah.
But yeah.
There are options out there, guys.
Anyway.
What podcasts have you been listening to recently?
But here's one that I think you'll like, which I know that you probably have already listened to. That's The Rest Is History.
I've heard of it, but I've never listened to it.
The guys who talk in it, they're quite pompous and they can be quite annoying.
Are they English?
Yeah, they're super English and they probably went to like they're very, but they're really smart, obviously. And like,
yeah,
they release episodes like there's no tomorrow. Like there's, they've got maybe 400 or 500 episodes.
Oh, wow.
And I've been listening to the French Revolution one.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting. And I used to be so on side with the people who were doing the revolution, which I still am, but like they were barbaric. Like, they were killing so many people.
Don't get controversial about the French Revolution on the pod.
Like, they had 1,000 people in a prison in Paris. And it wasn't just, like, really rich people, like aristocrats and stuff. It was, like, teachers and journalists. And they had to testify in front of a court. And, like, if they were proved guilty, they'd say, you're free to go. And that meant that they'd get killed. So it was really confusing. So no one really knew what was going on. But it was really, it was evil. Like, they were hacking people to death with axes and stuff. Like, they were barbaric, but like, so fair because they were starving.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you shouldn't kill a journalist. Come on, like, save the journalist. Even in the 1700s, they were like, no, we don't like
you. We hate journalists.
But yeah, Marie Antoinette off of her head. I know. Imagine being killed for saying that you didn't like a song.
You basically are, if you're talking about Taylor Swift.
That's true.
Anyway.
But yeah, Marie Antoinette.
Don't kill off of Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, don't kill Kirsten, but you, or Kristen, whatever. You can kill.
Is it Kirsten or?
I think it's Kirsten. So that's really good. They also have loads of episodes in like any era. They have everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been listening to Bingetopia, which I listen to all the time. They had a really good episode recently about streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the age of convenience or something. It's really good. Like, they talk about how Spotify is evil, and I was actually almost convinced to delete Spotify.
I need to. I'm beginning to think that I really, really should. But it's very difficult because I'm on a family plan, guys.
Same. So I'm on the family plan.
I don't want to have to pay for my own streaming.
My
family would still be paying for it even if I was on it or not, because they're probably not going to switch. So there's no point in me paying for another one.
Because someone had written into the podcast saying, like, I started going to my library to get CDs. I started going on Bandcamp.
Bandcamp is really good.
Yeah, like,
guys, go on Bandcamp. Support artists directly on Bandcamp. Even like SoundCloud and stuff like that.
Yeah, SoundCloud's like, better because it's like, you, a lot of stuff, you, there's so much music you don't get on Spotify.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many artists who aren't on it. Mm-hmm. And like, the thing about physical music, they were saying how we've become too used to paying such a tiny amount for the vast amount of music that we get. So paying a tenner for one album, you're supporting your favorite artist way more.
Yeah.
So why would you not want to support someone who you're really like their music? And but then on the other hand, it's just so convenient, but like, you have to go through pain to have what you, a nice thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Buying merch at gigs, that like, that's like very direct.
Yeah, that allows your artist to continue.
Yeah, exactly. Like they wouldn't be doing it like you. Your Spotify subscription, your Spotify streams are doing nothing for them. Like, mm-hmm. you have to be buying merch directly from them, buying gig tickets, supporting them on Bandcamp and stuff like that. Also, just, like, I'd encourage everyone to go to independent record shops. Like, buying... Recently, Asai in Glasgow. Asai, like, all of the Asais.
Mm-hmm.
It's their 10th year anniversary. It was on Saturday or something. And they were selling a lot of records for £10.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in... And I bought myself like 3 records because I was like, hello, I love listening to my records, not to sound like a snob, but it just sounds better. Just sounds better on vinyl with nice speakers.
And if it's too and expensive, then on your phone.
Like and so you can get CDs. And secondhand CDs are incredibly cheap. Charity shops, secondhand record shops, like CD players.
Big up Oxfam Music. Like, speak to people who work there. Like, speak to people at Mono. They'll give you a recommendation. People who work in music shops, they're passionate. They're there to be spoken to, I think, as well. Speak to the librarian. So, like, just go to the library, you know, look at the CDs. Maybe get, like, a portable CD player. I was thinking about that. Oh, I just think we need to support music better. And as journalists, we should be doing that.
I do. No, I mean,
yeah, you do. To I be do. Fair, yeah. I you do. Always come out with a random name of a musician.
And I do think when you're saying about the, like, we're so used to paying whatever it is, like £10 a month for Spotify, that is like the tiniest amount considering how much music you're listening to mm-hmm. on a regular basis. If you like just bought an album that you really like, it's like £10 mm-hmm. and I don't know what point I'm making with that, so, but like it's so much better, and you also have the album. Don't you just love looking at an yeah. album, like when you just when you have
you can actually see the cover art mm-hmm. you're not looking at a phone screen, it's like yeah. it's right in front of you, you can put it on your wall,
you can read the lyrics yeah. you can like look at the credits. I just it, see all the pictures and, yeah,
and like great. No, I know what you mean about the tenner though, because it's more intentional. You're spending a tenner on, like, say you're buying a Stereolab album. It's like, I love Stereolab. I'm going to buy their album. And you're not paying a tenner to be overwhelmed by millions and millions of artists that you see on Spotify. You don't even yeah. know where to start.
See the day list. That, it's like...
Oh, I know.
It just presses
me wait, can I... That's just as an example.
I wish I could see mine right now. But the day list is, like, this, like, AI-generated playlist that changes, like... I think you get, like, 4 or 5 throughout the day. And it'll be, like, morning... afternoon, evening, night time, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And it will be disgusting.
It will be like the most random, like made up genre you've ever heard in your life. One of mine was called like Final Boss Indie Pop Morning. Like, I was like, what are you even talking about? I had like Clairo on it.
Mine today is Post Punk Revival Modern Monday Evening. And it's just.
What does that mean?
It's like Wonder Horse, an inhaler.
I just love when it's like 80s rock evening and it's like songs from like 2004.
I think we actually did a podcast where we talked about our...
I think we... because
Witchy Wednesday night.
Yeah. Was... Yeah, there was one. I remember talking about Pilates Princess Strut Pop from last year's Spotify Wrapped. Oh, they were giving you random like genres. Shit.
And there was also another one. It was Rizmix and all this.
Oh, yeah.
Was it?
They're like the mixes that Spotify makes, and it's
taking buzzwords.
Yeah, it just takes like because one of those like Delulu mix.
Yeah, but, like yeah. Goon mix.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, yeah, and they just and it you click on it and it's like Mazzy Star and like the Cranberries. You're like, what does this have to do with anything?
So the other night, to move on from Spotify, we went to a gig at the new venue 1990, which is in place of Broadcast, Sucking Off Street. So it's really nice to be back there. It was Crowded Flat putting on the gig, who I believe also are very involved in the actual venue. It was Bandit Country, Tina Salmage, Strayed and Alcatraz. All very good. It's so strange to see it open again. Mm-hmm. But did you ever go to gigs in Broadcast when it was Broadcast?
Yeah, I did.
1990 when it was Broadcast.
Yeah. I only went to a couple, but I liked them. I always thought that it was quite, it's like very like nice and sleazy, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's literally right next door, so it's like just the same kind of venue. But I thought the vibes in Broadcast were a little bit more like, refined, like, you know what I mean? Like, I
compared
like,
to Nice and Sleazy,
Broadcast always attracted like touring bands. I felt like I went to see Quasi there, who are an American band, and they also had Memorials from England.
But yeah, so now it's more DIY, I would say, which is really nice. They seem to be doing a lot of club nights,
yeah,
which is interesting, which they did in Broadcast a lot as well, I think, but. Not to compare them either, because it's, you know, different entities.
Yes.
And hopefully she will last very long and be prosperous in the Glasgow music scene.
100%.
Nice drinks as well. We went the other day and Shania got an Iron Brew beer or something, IPA lager or whatever.
Is that the 1990 one? Because I saw that they had, like, house stuff on tap.
Interesting selection of alcohol. Schopfer-Hofer, my favourite.
Tenants. Can I go wrong with a wee tenants?
So it was really nice. I'll definitely like be going a lot, I think, because it's so nearby, like, you know, have to support your local, don't you?
The locale, darling.
No, darling, we can't
darling.
Go.
The Orin Moore is too busy, darling.
Sometimes I find the West End kind of lax with, like, I mean, I really like the Macker on Great Western Road. They do a trad session. Nina's Nightmare. They do a chat session every Thursday. It's really fun. See, I've been like twice, the... but I really like the...
I'm a regular.
To the trial session.
I like the hug and paint, but at the end of the day, it's like just quite expensive.
It is, but I like that it's run by a local promoter, like 4-4-2 run it, and it's a nice venue downstairs, nice vibes. The food's apparently lovely. I only ever tried the Mexican food that they used to do. And the drinks were nice. They do nice cocktails.
We had a lovely margarita there, didn't we?
And it was only £5, so you can't complain. And what's another nice pub?
I like the Lauriston.
Oh, Lauriston.
Been going to the south side a lot, and every time I pass on the bus, I'm like,
come back.
The bus window, like,
let me in, please.
But I don't want to go my own. That would be sad.
No, it'd be awful. Oh, the Doublet is really nice. The Doublet, it's like a little tavern. The ups, the
makes
lounge.
You feel like a shove, like a little,
like a cauldron. No, like a big beer glass. Like, yeah, you know, like the big, like German ones.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the lounges, it reminds me of like.
It's a ferry.
Yes,
it's like being on a ferry.
The old Calmac ferries had bars on them, and they look exactly the same. Tartan carpet is so funny.
Yeah.
So old fashioned. So I love good. It.
I just loved, like, we went to a gig there and we went upstairs and we walked in and they were playing Orange Juice and we just like had our little, and it just felt so like, look at me.
In like a time capsule.
Yeah, I know.
The Bell is really nice. Have you been to the Bell? Where's it's further up at Restaurant Road. It's like next to the
Achilles
running place.
I always get scared when I walk past there because I feel like everyone who sits outside looks at you like,
yeah, I look at them as well because I'm like, maybe I know somebody. Someone.
But also, like, see if I see somebody I know, I also kind of don't want to see them.
You don't want to, like, hold the gaze.
Hold the gaze.
Hold the gaze.
I do want to hold the gaze. Come on, gaze. I haven't been in there, actually, but I walked past it.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited to get back into the gigs in Glasgow, though. It's been a dry spell in terms of gigs. Yeah, are we going to anything?
I haven't really been going to like many smaller ones.
Yeah, that's
like, without
it.
You. Oh, missed you so bad. So I've just to like quickly recap, just like a few like smaller gigs I've been to this summer. I went to McCool's in June to see Isabella Strange, Mad Ludwig, and Slug. That was really good. Three new bands that I like really enjoy and like respect because they're all doing something quite different from a lot of other bands in Glasgow. That was a good one. I went to the Glad Cafe in July to see Otto Camper, who are from Manchester, and they were supported by Radica. We just like we're busy. I don't know what we're doing. Sitting in the parking, strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
When it's summer, that was a good one. It was probably the hottest gig I've ever been to.
Oh, that's not fun. I hate being too really hot at a gig. It's the worst thing ever.
Because it was roasting outside that day and we were just inside and like I just remember going like this and the bottom of my hair was all wet and I was like, yo, this is so horrible.
I remember at Wonderwars last year we left and I was like, I feel like I've peed myself, like it's so sweaty. It's kind of
terrible.
Any other gigs coming up that are like local gigs
coming up? Generally I think there are like, see, this time of year the gigs
it's a good gig season,
get going, I think, because everyone's like been at festivals all summer and festivals just kind of tire me out. It's hard, but I think for local like small gigs, I think this time of year is really good. Although we are talking about going to Simple Things in Bristol, which is
in November,
and it's like a day festival. It's kind of like Tenement Trail here in Glasgow,
maybe a bit bigger. Is it?
Yeah, it's got more like it. The bands that are playing, like they have bigger bands playing. So it's Dry Cleaning, The Orioles, Nalis and Ephro.
Is it Do Nothing?
Yeah, I think so. Evlur, Feverless Glock. So they have bands from like lots of different places.
And obviously Tenement Trail as well.
Yeah,
that'd be good. Feel Bleak is playing.
Also, Pale Waves.
Yeah, I think Pale Waves are headlining.
Yeah,
so that should be fun. I think we should wrap it up.
Definitely.
Thank you for listening if you made it this far. Hopefully we will be more regular in the next few months. Hopefully we can do some interviews.
I think we like the casual vibe. But yeah.
Yeah.
So when we have a guest, we're going to make them sit. And we're all going to hold hands.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.